Virginia Conversations on Virginia Public Radio is underwritten by the Virginia Education Association, the men and women working in Virginia's public schools. VEA, teaching, learning, leading. Online at veanea.org.
Today on Virginia Conversations, keeping students on track to graduate from high school and move on to college. I'm Maylily Lee. Thanks for joining us. Every 26 seconds, a student is dropping out of high school. That means nationwide, 1.3 million students don't graduate. Today, we have with us representatives from Project Discovery, a statewide program offered to students in grades 4 through 12 that encourages them to complete their high school education. Joining us in the Roanoke studio of WVTF is Project Discovery's Chief Executive Officer, Jeff North. From our Richmond studio, we have coordinators from two of the 24 Project Discovery partner agencies across the state. They are Heidi Davis from the Quinn Rivers Community Action Program, and serving Fredericksburg, Herma Linda Miller from the Office of Human Affairs in Newport News. Thanks, all of you, for being here.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'd like to start with you, Heidi, if I could. You're out there doing it all. You're running programs, and you are also involved in fundraising, and you have the elevator speech for Project Discovery. Tell us, in a nutshell, what the program does.
The program offers students the opportunities that they may not have from their own home life or in their school or community to have successful tools to graduate high school, hopefully to go on to college or some kind of other training certificate program so they can become productive and tax-paying citizens. We want them to graduate school and have a future career that is fulfilling for them.
And Herma Linda, what are some of the nuts and bolts? What might you find yourself doing with the students?
We schedule campus visits where the students who have never been on colleges will have that opportunity to see what college is like. We also have weekly workshops where students will receive the skills necessary to become prepared for college. And the workshops ranges from financial aid, how to choose a college, admissions requirements, goal setting, career planning, all the things, time management, all the things that they need in order to help them in choosing a college.
So, Jeff, as the CEO, you can explain this to us. You're a nonprofit organization?
That's correct.
And you go to the legislature each year and say, hey, this is what we do.
Yes, we do.
It's been a little rough lately.
It has been rough. We in 2001, our funding level was approximately $1.1 million. This last session, the General Assembly ended up granting us $425,000, which is a slight increase from last year, but very far away from where we used to be in funding.
What do the numbers tell us about the impact that Project Discovery is making?
As far as our statistical results, for example, 2007, our graduating class of 2007, 63% of our students that were economically disadvantaged went to college as compared to the state number of 46% of economically disadvantaged students. Of that that cohort, 46% of them have already graduated from college. Compared to a nationwide total student population number of 41% from that same graduating class.
And you have a high hit number. 90% of the students who actually are touched by Project Discovery end up getting a graduate degree from, graduating from high school.
That's correct. That's correct. And actually, 90% of them end up attending some form of post-secondary education after they matriculate from high school.
And let's talk about that, Heidi. Why is it important to graduate? Now, this is an important question in our workforce. You know, a lot of people will say, high school doesn't matter. We have such a tight workforce that's all about, every man for himself. Why is that high school diploma so important to the workforce?
Well, a high school diploma is one factor in differentiating when you're hiring as an employer, you're going to be hiring someone. Each level of education that you have beyond high school will increase not only your net value as far as your salary over a long time period. You can make over $1 million more in your lifetime with a college degree. And as you go between high school and each level, whether it's an associate's degree, a certificate program, bachelor's, master's, each level will take you into a higher level of not only professional work, but recouping your value of what you may be spending on your education. So being productive in our society, the high school diploma is just the minimum, and we need to have our students, and I'm not saying that GEDs are not valid either, but the high school diploma has a special place in our community because there are so many dropouts. In my community, it was 17% of our high school was dropping out. That's three times the amount of the local counties neighboring those areas. So in Fredericksburg, the need was so great that we now have a much lower dropout rate at our high school.
Let's hear from a young woman who benefited from Project Discovery. Miriam from Fairfax, good morning to you.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, my goodness. What an enthusiastic voice. It's great to hear from you this morning. Tell us about your experience with the program.
Well, my experience began when I was in high school. I actually heard about Project Discovery from a really close friend of mine. And at first, I didn't really know a lot about the organization and stuff, but I attended a few meetings, and I started getting information about what Project Discovery does, and I'm so blessed to have been a part of it because it's really just opened so many doors for me, and it's really just allowed me to explore higher education.
Where did you go to school after high school?
I went to school at James Monroe High School. It's in Fredericksburg, Virginia.
And what are you studying?
Right now, I'm studying neuroscience. I'm actually planning on double majoring in neuroscience and psychology.
And are you the first in your family to go on to college?
I'm actually not. I also have, like, older siblings who have also gone to college, but, you know, my parents didn't really go to college, and it was kind of interesting because I was kind of wondering if I really wanted to go or not, and just, you know, just being in Project Discovery, it really, like, pushed me to really accept that, you know, in order for me to succeed in life, I really needed to pursue an education in post-secondary education. So I'm really glad that I was able to realize that in time. So, and like now I'm a sophomore in college, and I'm like pursuing this education in neuroscience, which is something that I never really thought I would do before. So I'm extremely grateful.
Mary, I'm already hearing you're going to be a future guest on the show. I can hear it now. Thank you so much for calling in, and congratulations to you. Thanks so much. And Aisha from Arlington, good morning. You're another student who went through Project Discovery. How are you?
Oh, good morning.
Can you help me with some of your successes in the program? I know that you were accepted to George Mason University. What year are you in now?
So I'm going to be graduating, and I'll be going to Mary Washington, actually.
Great. Okay. Oh, that's super. Okay. Well, tell us what Project Discovery did for you.
Well, I took it my sophomore year. I did the tutoring program, and I had some trouble with my AP World History class, and my tutor, Colleen, really helped me through that. And then after that year, I was really prepared. And so junior year, I was able to take, like, three AP classes and kind of, like, work for it from there.
So, Aisha, give me an idea of what difference it makes. Both you and Miriam sound to me like already bright, already equipped students. I can't help it. You just both sound so articulate. But what made the difference for you? What made the turn of events occur in your life?
I think they just really teach you how to, like, handle your classes, balance your time. Like, they just kind of teach you, like, strategies on how you should, like, study for your test. That kind of helped me, like, apply it next year.
That's great. And what are your plans for the future?
So I think I'm going to do pre-med possibly at Mary Washington.
Say that again?
The pre-med program at Mary Washington.
Wonderful. Outstanding. Well, best of luck to you, Aisha, and we really appreciate your calling in.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, panel, let me toss this to you. Students were surveyed back in 2008 under the Care to Vote program, and they were asked, you know, why aren't you succeeding? Why do you feel like you didn't do well in high school? And a lot of these were students who just didn't graduate from high school. The number one cause that was cited by the students themselves was that the classes were not interesting. Secondarily, they said they had missed too many days. Thirdly, they had spent too much time with people not interested in school. And fourthly, they had too much freedom and not enough rules in their lives. So do these fit with some of the students that you're meeting whose, you know, parents and siblings didn't, unlike Miriam's story, did not go on to college?
This is Heidi, and I would like to say that the third point you made about not being with other people, their peers who are interested in college, I think is what makes our program very unique, because in my school, we have 100 students out of 600 that are going between 9th and 12th grade. So a large percentage of the school is in Project Discovery, and ours is after school. So it's an opportunity for students who might only be hanging out with their grade level, say the juniors, but they get exposed to all the different students when we go on trips and when we have our meetings. And they're together with people who have a common interest. And sometimes that is what actually keeps them going, because finally they're out of maybe the bad influences of somebody in their neighborhood or community. They're put with other people who have like goals. And I think it's a wonderful opportunity for them to be encouraged by their peers. And not only that, but the other factor I think that was missing is that we provide one-on-one assistance. Yes. And a school that has three counselors to 1,000 students or even greater doesn't have the opportunity to get to know the students like we do. And so when I write a recommendation letter, mine might be 2 or 3 pages, because all the coordinators do that. We know our students and their family and their situations, and we can plead their case for scholarships and other opportunities. And I think the one-on-one keeps them accountable. I think Hermelinda would agree.
Yes. And one of the other things that I would like to piggyback on what Heidi just stated was at our workshops, we have admissions representative, college admissions representative that visit the workshops and mm-hmm. speak to the students about the courses that they need to start focusing on in high school that will help them be admitted into college. And I believe that's a motivational factor that is necessary to help the students become on track, because I believe that all students want to achieve greatness, but not having the resources or the knowledge of what it takes plays a part in some students not pursuing it. So with Project Discovery, we have people that come in to talk to the students about classes that they need to start focusing on. Even college students who were once in Project Discovery, they will come back to the workshop and speak to the students on how they wish when they were in the 9th grade or in the 8th grade that they knew what they knew now. So they would come back and talk to the students about the necessary classes that they need to take, such as enrolling in honor classes, then after that enrolling in AP classes or dual enrollment. Informations like that motivates students to pursue that, especially once they start visiting the colleges and seeing the courses that the college students are taking.
One of the things this is Jeff. One of the things that we've experienced over the years, school counselors on average nationwide have a caseload of about 350 students annually. And there have been numbers that have been discussed at, from different times that these counselors spend about 15 to 20 minutes a year annually with each student. Students need time to understand what they need to have in their portfolio, if you will, in order to be able to move on to a post-secondary educational experience. What type of courses are required? You know, what the schools require in the way of essays, writing, et cetera. And the counselors, the coordinators of the Project Discovery program, do work in this almost like a club atmosphere with the students. And the students feed off of that. They're in a peer group and don't want to say they compete with each other, but they like to work together to support each other, to make sure that that they can realize their own dreams of moving on to some post-secondary educational experience. So, you know, one of the things that that really made me very, very happy with this program when I first learned about it, when I was a local community action agency director, and I wanted to bring this program to my local agency, was the fact that the students would be getting an opportunity to improve their lot in life by education And we like to look at this program as generational change. So.
Good morning to you, Michelle from Fredericksburg. You're a mom of three students in Project Discovery. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Great. Tell us a little bit about your experience with the program and how your kids have been flourishing.
I'm very pleased with the program. My daughter first introduced it to me when she was in eighth grade, and then she introduced her brothers, Jeremiah and Jamal, to the program. And since then, they have been excited about going on to college and pursue higher education.
What are their ages or what levels of...
Tamia is 14. Mm-hmm. Jeremiah, he's graduating next month. He's going to Virginia Union. He's 17, and Jamal is 16.
Great. And so continue that. I just wanted to get an idea of their levels.
Oh, sure. And also, my children have seen with my father, who was unable to continue with his education because he had to drop out of school to support the family. And then my mother, when she worked for Head Start at that time, she had to go back to a community college back in Ohio to pursue higher education. So the children are very aware, looking at our family members, how higher education is very important for the future.
Well, there's a lot of pride here. So many of the families, including yours, are seeing for the first time that not only is there graduation going on, but students are going off to college for the first time in the family.
Well, my older siblings and myself have went to college because it was very stressed in our family to make sure that we continue our education. Our parents want us to have the opportunity not to struggle what they went through as far as not completing our education. So I try to pass that on to my children because you never know what's going to happen in the future, and you need to be able to pursue anything that you want.
And what feedback have you gotten from your kids? What stood out
for
them?
They love it. They love it. They like going to the college, and I appreciate the program because they are able to take them on college tours and show them things that I can't do, like I have to work. So with Ms. Heidi and the Project Discover program, I like the opportunity where they're able to go on these college tours, open their eyes up, let them know there are other avenues or approaches that they can take to pursue their goals.
Outstanding. Michelle, thank you so much for your call this morning.
Oh, no problem. Thank you.
And Heidi, we only have about 60 seconds to break, but I do want to point out that I'm not absolutely stark raving mad. Most of the families really do have no prior graduates from college.
Right. Mrs. Wallace is one of my only parents who actually is college educated, and most all of our students, more than 90% of our students actually are considered first generation to go to college, meaning their parents didn't graduate from a U.S. Institution. Many of my students actually are from other countries in which they're now citizens, but their parents were not educated here in their country or in America.
You're listening to Virginia Conversations. On Virginia Public Radio next week, President Obama's new health care program to create a shortage of family doctors. We'll hear from two medical educators on the next Virginia Conversations. Be sure to stay with us. This is a great discussion involving Project Discovery. We'll be back in one moment. And welcome back. Today we're talking about keeping students in school and on track to college, as well as how to help them retain lessons learned over the summer break. Our guests are Jeff North, Chief Executive Officer of Project Discovery, and from our Richmond studio to site coordinators with Project Discovery, Heidi Davis is with the Quinn Rivers Community Action Program, serves Fredericksburg, and Hermelinda Miller is the coordinator at the Office of Human Affairs in Newport News. And we have on the line Delegate Mamie Bacote, who is one of the board members for Project Discovery. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
I know that you serve on the subcommittee of the Appropriations Committee, serving elementary and secondary schools. What a great tie-in to Project Discovery. How long have you been associated with the program?
Oh, about 15 years.
Wonderful. Great. You can give us that historical perspective.
I was in City Council in Newport News.
Okay.
And I worked with former delegate Laura Crittenden.
You know, you probably get...
She brought me there to see some things that were going on, and I was so impressed because I am an educator, and I find it necessary to keep Project Discovery moving along and getting some funding for them on a yearly basis. Some people say that they don't need it because they have plenty of guidance counselors, but guidance counselors don't have the time that Project Discovery puts into each individual child. And that's because they may see, I heard someone say they see them maybe 20 minutes out of a year because of so many, the larger schools just don't have the time. They have so many students. And that's a real problem, where Project Discovery puts the personal touch there. They get the children individually and talk with them and get them motivated at an early age. And it's very, very important that they keep Project Discovery. That's the still that I go on when I have to present funding to the rest of the group in the Appropriations Committee, you know, to let them know that it's important to keep this program.
And for those of us just joining the program, Delegate, if you could explain, there is a specific population targeted. It's not just all high schools or just any high school.
No, it's not. And a lot of school divisions have cut out field trips. Here's an example. They've cut out field trips because they don't have the funding. Mm-hmm. And these kids get to see colleges, as was mentioned earlier. They get to go individually and talk with the counselors in the colleges and just make decisions as to whether which track they want to take in developing their future.
We certainly thank you so much for your input today, Delegate Mamie Bacote. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, more than welcome.
And enjoy your day. And also on the line, we have now Linda Wallinger. She is the Assistant Superintendent for Instruction with the Virginia Department of Education. And there's a program going on this summer, Linda, thanks to your organization. Borrowing from Virginia is for Lovers. Tell us about it.
Yes, thank you very much. Virginia is for Lovers of Summer Learning. The Virginia Department of Education has a website posted this summer that provides interesting activities in reading and mathematics and science and history for students to explore during their summer break. We know that students lose or have the possibility of losing some of their learning over the summer, and so we want to do everything to make it possible for them to continue exploring and discovering new things in a fun way. And the department has created a website as well as flyers that can be printed out in both English and Spanish that provide websites to places like the Smithsonian Institution, the Library of Virginia, various historical societies, NOAA, which is for the science, weather, and oceanographic expeditions, and for students to do fun things. These are not necessarily hardcore learning activities, but they are games, puzzles, challenges for students to work on over the summer. We think it would be a great thing for parents to print out and pass it over the back seat as students are on a long trip to keep them occupied. We've been working with the Library of Virginia, the Virginia Council of Churches, various other organizations, the PTA, to spread the word. The Department of Social Services has worked with us to get the information to daycare providers so that at any downtime when students say, gee, Mom, I don't have anything to do, what can I do? This will be a site where they might be able to go and find some fun things to keep their learning alive over the summer.
And we'll have this website address on our Facebook page, too, but can you give us the website address for DOE?
Absolutely. It's www.doe.virginia, spelled out, .gov. So doe.virginia.gov, G-O-V. And on that front page, you'll see a link to everything that we've just talked about.
Linda Wallinger with the Virginia Department of Education. A pleasure to talk with you this morning.
Great. Thank you so much.
Well, let's turn to the panel again. Clearly, there's emphasis here on reading, and I know, Jeff, you and I were lamenting good old-fashioned books over the summer, or even just comic books that you hold in your hand. Reading means something different for students now.
I think you're right on that. Back in the day when I was in elementary school, middle school, so forth, you know, to have a book in your hand and actually turn the pages meant reading. Nowadays, there are Kindles, there's stuff on the Internet, I was saying earlier that my great nephews, they use Kindles and they read. But I'm still more of the old school where I like to turn the pages in the books. I think all learning is tied directly back to reading. If you can't read, you can't learn. And I really think that getting back to some of the basics is very, very important. Some of the work that our coordinators do, it gets right back to basics. And I think that's very important for our students that we work with on an annual basis.
Reading, writing, arithmetic.
Yep, yep, the three R's, reading, writing, arithmetic.
Scott from Richmond, good morning to you.
Yeah, I hear a lot of, and I have no real experience with this particular organization, but my wife is a teacher, and she's been a teacher for 7 years, and she graduated from college with honors and, you know, could have gone on to a more lucrative career, and I basically see the problem is very simple, and it has a simple solution. We have to value our teachers more if we want to attract from that upper crust of college graduates as they do in other countries. So, you know, until we can offer Virginia teachers more than $40,000 a year, we're never going to attract the type of people that are going to motivate students. You know, if you feel devalued at your place of employment, you know, you're not going to go into the door, you know, excited and ready to impart knowledge. And I don't really think that, you know, increasing the number of school counselors or, you know, any of those measures is really going to make, you know, any sort of measurable difference. But, you know, that's just my opinion.
Yes, appreciate your input, Scott. Thank you for calling in. Let me just go over these numbers. The national average for graduation is around 75. It can be 71%, depending upon what study you're looking at. And there are two areas in Virginia where we exceed the national average. Northern Virginia has a 91% graduation rate, again, depending upon which study you cite, and the Valley, an 89% graduation rate. So those two areas of Virginia do well. The rest of Virginia's regions are below the national average, in this order descending: Central Virginia, Southwest, Eastern, West Central, Hampton Roads, and Southside. And I know, Heidi and Hermelinda, you all are looking at these kinds of numbers all the time. Of course, you're in the trenches helping to correct these numbers and to help improve graduation rates.
Well, I would say that because of Project Discovery, when you look at those numbers in those certain areas, for example, in our area, we're just south of Northern Virginia, so we actually wouldn't be probably part of those calculations. But more than, as I said, 90% of Project Discovery students last year, it was 89% of all the 2012 graduates across the state who were in Project Discovery graduated, have indicated that they're going on to college or a professional degree. And so our numbers are so much higher than the state average. And we're working with economically disadvantaged students who may meet federal poverty guidelines. They may meet the free and reduced lunch program. They might be first generation to go to college. Those are the three main factors that qualify a student. We take students at every academic level, whether they're struggling in school or they're the AP honor student. And I also really wanted to make a point that we haven't said is that in the 24 localities, they serve multiple schools from elementary, middle, and high school. And these are designed in communities in which the Virginia Department of Education has identified a need because of the dropout rate and the free and reduced lunch rate. We didn't arbitrarily just choose locations across the state to serve, and many counties and cities are asking for us. We don't have the ability to serve it without the funding, and these programs are completely free. The students and parents who we serve, we're not only helping the students, but we're also serving the family. We meet with many of our families for workshops, one-on-one, to help them do their financial aid applications, to walk them through the process so that they understand. There are no fees to our students, and I don't want to mislead people that all we do is go on college trips. We are about the workshops. They have to actually produce work, portfolios, scholarship applications. There are expectations of them to do work beyond the high school day. The college trips are a reward for those who are participating and meeting the requirements of the program. We offer community service opportunities to volunteer, and many other programs have different ways of doing their programs that we do it unique to each locality to make it work.
We have a call from Aaron from Lynchburg. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
You have a question about maybe kids who are already in college at this point.
Yes, I had a question. For example, my daughter is a second-year student in college, but she is not in college at this time. That's how much she's accomplished. But she's had bad experience with college regarding, say, for example, ADD or other challenges, which I won't go into right now. But I wondered if you all had a program that's somewhat affiliated or could direct me to a contact that would help me to help my child guide her to what is a college atmosphere, classroom atmosphere that would help her continue on rather than get bogged down and not feel like she can do it.
That's a very, very good question. I think that one of the things that we may be able to assist with would be to facilitate contact with our local coordinator in the Lynchburg area to talk with your daughter to find out what challenges she does have and see if we might be able to provide some resources, whether they be through the local agency or through some of the community resources to help her develop skills that she needs to be able to succeed. And I will say, if you mentioned ADD, most colleges have components to assist with situations like that. And it may just be a matter of speaking with some of the folks within the admissions office to see what resources are available within that particular school for your daughter.
Thanks so much.
That's great.
If you would like to give us a call, if you go online to our website, www.projectdiscovery.org, you can get our contact information. Feel free to contact me, and I will talk with you further about this.
Thank you. And you are Jeff, is that right?
I am. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you so much.
You're
I
quite
appreciate
welcome.
That.
Thank you for your call, Aaron, and we'll be putting these websites on our Facebook page, too. You'll have a link or just the address when you check out the Virginia Conversations Facebook page. Good morning. We have a call from Roanoke. Martha, how are you?
I am fine, thank you.
Great.
I am traveling and was listening to the program and wanted to call in. I am retired administrator, teacher. I continue to substitute in several of the public schools. I've had both public school and private school experiences as an administrator. I just wanted to follow up and comment on some of the items that were mentioned as to why the students are dropping out of school. And I feel a lot of it is, it was stated that they say school is boring. It absolutely is. The children are being taught facts. They're not being taught to really think. It's all in preparation for the, in Virginia, the SOL test. When I was in Texas, it was the Texas test. And I see it starting, as I said, in the elementary grade. I hate school. I hate school. It's the same thing over and over. When in the high school, it continues. Secondly, I think Project Discovery is listening to your program. It's the first I've heard of it, is doing a fine job. However, I think we are putting so much emphasis on children going to college. We need to have people continue with the trades and the technical aspects of our lives. And not every child is qualified for school. We have so many children getting remediation before they can, when they're admitted to college, they have to take remediation courses. And I just would like to see more of a balance that way. These college kids get out with humongous debts, and they're not always jobs for them. Last night, listening to NPR, they were talking about not having jobs when they get out of college. It seems to me that we are in a situation with our education that something needs to be done. What, I don't know, but we need to look at servicing all children, not just to go to college, and also to do something with our educational system. Thank you.
Martha, hold on the line, will you, for just a moment? Can you still hear me?
Yes.
We'd like to address that. Actually, Heidi and I, before the program, talked about what you're addressing relating to technical schools, going off to perhaps serving the military rather than going to college, and we want to get to that. However, I want to tap into your experience as a former teacher and ask you, especially since you taught the equivalent of the SOLs in Texas, what is your opinion on the SOLs in Virginia and whether that aids or hinders students at the high school level?
It hinders. There's no question about it. It hinders. All they are doing are learning facts to pass a test, because so much is emphasized for the school districts and for the teachers. And there has to be another way to evaluate teachers other than how the students are performing on these tests. You cannot expect every child to pass the test, and this is what the state is requiring and the federal government is requiring. And you have to know that we have different intellectual abilities. Children don't always learn everything all the time at the same time. We didn't all cut our teeth the same time. We didn't all learn to ride a bicycle at the same time. But this is what we are expecting our school children to do. And in high school, these kids, I realize that they are developing into young adults and they have many other things in their minds. But if you have teachers in there that really can bring the subject matter to life, they love it.
Okay. And, Jeff, I'm not going to ask you your personal opinion on the SOLs. I just want to hear from you around your attitude toward learning and teaching.
Well, I think, and I agree with what Martha just said, we need to be working with our students to teach them critical thinking. They need to be able to think about issues and think about solutions to issues, as opposed to learning by rote and being able just to spit out facts and figures. And I do think that my personal experience with my children growing up and going through the public education system, they have they started to learn how to test and not to think.
All right, and we will be back after this break. We promise Martha to address that question around post-high school, and this reminder that past editions of Virginia Conversations can be heard on virginiapublicradio.org. We will be back in 90 seconds.
Virginia Conversations on Virginia Public Radio is underwritten by the Virginia Education Association, supporting public discourse through sponsorship of Virginia Public Radio. Resources for parents and teachers online at veanea.org. More information about Virginia Conversations and other Virginia Public Radio programming can be found online at virginiapublicradio.org. This is Virginia Public Radio.
Today we're talking about Project Discovery, a program aimed at helping students finish high school. Our guests are Chief Executive Officer Jeff North and from our Richmond studio, two site coordinators with Project Discovery. Heidi Davis is the coordinator of the Quinn Rivers Community Action Program serving Fredericksburg, and Hermelinda Miller is the coordinator at the Office of Human Affairs in Newport News. Before the break, we had a call from Martha, a retired educator from Roanoke, and she asked Heidi about the emphasis on college, college this, college that. And it's a fair question because there are very legitimate things post-high school.
I'm going to pass this to Hermelinda. We're talking here in the studio, and we both agree on the same facts. So I'm going to turn it to my colleague.
Yes, thank you, Heidi. The caller is correct, and I can understand that not all students are going to pursue a college education. And in Newport News, we have most of our students, like for example, last year I had 77 seniors, and out of the 77 seniors, I had 69 went off to college. But we had a few went into the military and the rest went straight into the workforce. Project Discovery does focus on college, but we also focus on job interviews, job skills. We have people from VEC, Virginia Employment Commission, come in and talk to the students about how to do an interview. We have people from the military come in and talk about the different armed forces. So it's not just college, because we know that not everyone is going to college. So we do try to expose them to the various resources out there, the various institutions, trade schools that they can pursue. Definitely going out to work. We have a few students last year who are now in the workforce workforce, and they had mock interviews while they were in Project Discovery. They met with the director at BC talking about the skills, interviewing skills and tips and do's and don'ts that you will do at a job interview. So it's not all about college, because we know not everyone will be pursuing a college education.
And this is Heidi. I'd like to add that one of the jewels in Virginia, people do not realize that one of the leading educators in Virginia is our community college system. And while that may still have a stigma for some people, it is one of the four best in the country. I would put it probably first or second in the entire country. And they offer trade programs from becoming an auto mechanic, which now is very technical, very electronic, right up the alley of our students, because they're all about technology. And now you can't buy a car that's not a computer, really. And so these students can go and get certificate training, whether they want to go into becoming, working in education, maybe being in a daycare center. They need to have a certificate for working with children. They might want to do auto mechanic. They might want to go to an art school, a culinary school. Those are the things we expose. We do talk about college as sort of the ideal, but college can be a certificate or a two-year degree, the associates up to bachelor's or beyond. So I'm really glad that Martha brought that up, because we do have students that end up everywhere, and I know several of mine are starting right there at Germana Community College in Fredericksburg, because they know it's the affordable way to get their education, not to take on the loans, and to explore who they are and what they want to do before they go off to a major school. And they may or may not transfer. They may be perfectly content with a two-year degree or a certificate and have a very fulfilling life.
If students do go to community college and they do complete that two-year degree, as Heidi just mentioned, a lot of the public schools in Virginia have automatic acceptance into a four-year program once they complete their two-year degree from community college. I'd like to go ahead and just talk really briefly as well about apprenticeship programs in Virginia. We do try to encourage our students to look at apprenticeship programs, because they can get into training programs where they will actually earn a wage while they are training, and when they complete their program, they will have a job. So just piggybacking on what Martha said, yes, it's just not college that we need to be working with our students for. We need to be working with our students on what their future will be, and that's what we do at Project Discovery.
Now addressing socioeconomic factors and how they play a role in the performance of the student in high school. Susan from Richmond, I know you have a comment around that.
Hi, yes, and I'll kind of keep it brief, but I'm an educator, and I think that all of these programs are absolutely amazing, especially Project Discovery. I'm just really delighted to be in a state that emphasizes education in this way and, you know, trying to equalize opportunity, be it for college enrollment or a good vocational placement. But I think some of the comments and some of the discussion that we're having here and generally around education, education policy, programs and reform, misses the point. And David Berliner, who's a famous educator, kind of calls this the 800-pound elephant in the room. And it's poverty. Now, when you talk about the statistics, for instance, that you cited earlier on dropout rates or high school completion rates, and you're talking 91% completion rates in the northern part of the state versus being below the national average of 71% in the southern part of the state or in the southwest region. What we really also need to talk about, in addition, is socioeconomic status, that the correlation between educational attainment and SES is compelling and it doesn't go away. And so I'll take my comments off the air, but I really think that in addition to kind of targeted educational policy and programs, that social welfare programs are education programs. And thanks, and I'll take my comments off the air.
Great. Thank you so much, Susan.
Bye.
Who would like to jump in on that?
This is Heidi. I'm just cheering her on, because that is what we battle every day.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we have such great success stories that one I can share with you is about a student who was definitely family under poverty level. No one had gone on to school, to college. And just before her graduation, her main sole breadwinner in the family, her father passed away just a few weeks before graduation. The next day, the first person she called, and I'm grateful she did, she called me and said, Mrs. Davis, I don't think I can go to college now. My father passed away last night, and she was just beside herself. And we were able, and I don't say this from my standpoint, but Project Discovery does this across the state. We're able then to go in and help them, the parent and the child, go to the college and negotiate their situation. That was a very unique situation, and that student ended up, because she met all of the merit and qualifications for a full scholarship to a private school here in Virginia, has just completed her freshman year. But the need of her family, she was so worried about, she no longer could afford to go to school, and her disadvantages, she was able to rise and still find a way through her grief and her economic situation. And all of us could tell you stories that the students who are with us are economically disadvantaged, by majority of them are. And because of that one-on-one connection we can have with them, we can walk them through and overcome. That's why in the state we are 25% higher in our students going on to higher education than those who have no other support. Only 46% of the economically disadvantaged students might go on to education beyond high school. Ours is 63%, and that's very significant.
And I'd like to jump in on that. And Heidi, you're very, very right and right on the point. And one of the things that makes this program unique is that the majority of our partner agencies, as we call them, which are the agencies that actually deliver the services in the communities, they are, for the most part, community action programs. So they have a number of other resources within the agency that they can bring to bear to help a family. For example, if a student is hungry, he's not going to learn as well as a student that's not hungry. If a student doesn't have breakfast, they're not going to learn quite as well. Community action agencies can help with food pantries. They help with emergency services, with electricity. If a student's family has their power cut off, they can come in with emergency services to help with power. Just a number of resources within the community that can bring to bear to help a family and help that student situation. We have across the state many, many stories, as Heidi mentioned, about students and things that are done to help families, to help the students succeed. And that's what makes this program very unique in the Commonwealth.
We have a caller from Rockbridge County. Good morning, Amy.
Hello, good morning.
Hi there. What's your question or comment?
My comment is that having traveled not extensively, but a bit in other parts of the world, you see other people, especially in developing nations, that the young people are denied an education. And for them, being able to even go to elementary school is a privilege. And here in the United States, the kids feel like it's a requirement that they have to go to school. And somehow we've lost that eagerness for learning. And that the children in the United States feel like they have to go to school. They don't want to go to school. And we need to get that back, get these kids interested in learning. And I don't know what the answer is.
It's a great point. In fact, it's not just geographic, it's generational too. Back in our grandparents' day, it was considered quite the privilege to be able to get an education, especially if you were immigrants early on. That was the golden ring to be able to get an education. It's a great point. Heidi, Permelinda, Jeff?
Well, I think going back to the comment, students at this point, reflecting on some of the other comments that were made about school being boring, school being a privilege, school needs to be made exciting. Kids need to want to go to school to learn. And I think that your comment about the being the brass ring or the golden ring to go for back in the day, it is necessary that we make school exciting for students and we make it something that they want to achieve in order to make their lives successful. Long term, the educational component is going to be what makes them successful in life and makes them productive in society. So,
and Kelly from Roanoke, good morning with your question or call.
Hi, I wanted to make a comment to support some of the things that you've been saying. I'm actually a product of Virginia schools. I came up just before the SOLs came out. And I'm one of those students who actually struggled in school. I really couldn't make very good grades on the SATs. I can't imagine what I would do on the SOLs now. So I started at the community college, and I did 2 years there, and I got directly into Virginia Tech. And now I have a master's degree in engineering, and I've been a successful engineer in my career for 10 years. And my other comment was the people that I've seen, layoffs happen all the time in the workplace. And the people that get laid off tend to be the people who do just the rote work and need to have someone telling them what to do. They're not the ones out there with the critical, independent thinking skills. And I'm very concerned about the students that are coming up. I have had the opportunity to actually teach in the college setting as well, and I do see some of that, that the students really need it hand-fed to them and have a hard time with that critical thinking.
Thanks so much, Kelly, for your call. We appreciate that. Sure. And what a great example of, you know, you started at community college, and that was the perfect impetus for you. Thanks so much. You know, do you have any comments or questions for Melinda, Heidi, or Jeff before we go to the next caller?
I do want to piggyback on what Jeff had stated about making education fun. One of the things with Project Discovery is that we center the workshops based on the students' needs. We cater to their needs as far as making the workshops where they can relate to. Once students can relate to something, they become interested in it, and it becomes, especially if they feel that they can contribute, they can give inputs, it becomes fun for them. And Project Discovery, everything that we do as far as our topics, our workshops, is designed to meet their needs. Sometimes the students will come in and we will just have an open discussion just about their day. It's just amazing. 15 minutes of just them just venting, talking about what's on their mind. And then from there, we can move on to the topic on hands. But we do make the workshops fun because we want to basically make it relatable to them.
Great. And we have a call from Botetourt County. Sandra, good morning to you.
Good morning. My comment is with regard to children here in the States not wanting to go to school. The schools can't do it all. You know, the teachers can teach if the students are willing to learn. That willingness has to be instilled in a student from a parent, a grandparent, aunts, uncles. Their family has to give them something that is innate in all of us to learn. If it's not there, you can't teach that.
Schooling starts in the home.
Yes.
Agreed.
Schooling starts in the home. And like Kelly, I had a hard time in school, and I'm a product of the 60s. And not one teacher ever asked me when I was in high school, do you think you might go on to college? But I did have one teacher who said, you can do better. And because of her, when I was 49 years old, I did graduate from college with a degree in history and am extremely proud of that accomplishment that I made. Though it was late, I did achieve it.
That's wonderful.
I imagine you fall into that category, Sandra, of the person who saw schooling as a privilege.
It was a privilege. And I also started at the community college level. I was at Virginia Western from 1971 until I finished in the fall of 94.
We want to thank
you.
And
in between, I had family, children, husband, work, and the whole nine yards. So you can get there if you have the desire to get there.
Well, thank you so much. What a great way to round out our program, Sandra. Thanks for your call this morning as we close out the program. Just a quick statistic for you to put this in perspective. For those of you who like to look at things through an economic lens, a high school graduate makes 26% more than a high school dropout. A college graduate makes 36% more than a high school graduate. And fewer than 40% of adults with less than a high school diploma are employed, while over 80% of college graduates are employed. And I want to thank so many of our folks today, our callers, folks who have called in either from the legislature or from other areas of Virginia. I want to thank our guests on the panel, Chief Executive Officer Jeff North of Project Discovery, also from the same program, Heidi Davis and Hermelinda Miller. Thanks to all of you. Next Friday, more on President Obama's new health care program. That's on the next Virginia Conversations. Until then, I'm May Lily Lee. Have a great week.
Virginia Conversations on Virginia Public Radio is underwritten by the Virginia Education Association, the men and women working in Virginia's public schools. VEA, teaching, learning, leading. Online at veanea.org. And by listeners of this Virginia Public Radio member station. Listeners can hear this program again or access other Virginia Public Radio news content at virginiapublicradio.org. This is Virginia Public Radio.